Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you are in your vehicle, I want you to take a look at your own car brand and tell us what it is. Maybe look around the vehicles around you and take a look at the kind of vehicle brands that they are and maybe even estimate their age. Why am I asking you this? Well, according to the latest research and data that has been compiled by organizations like the National Automobile Dealers Association, NADA, we found that vehicle sales across the three dominant luxury manufacturers in South Africa, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, have more than halved in the last decade. And total sales have significantly decreased from the year 2014 to where we are now in 2023. So this gives us some perspective on understanding these dynamics. So Brandon Cohen, chairperson of NADA, joins us to give us some insight here. Brandon, such a pleasure to have you with us this evening, sir.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
I'm looking forward to this conversation because I think there's so many layers to the reasons behind the slowing dominance of these German luxury brands. And maybe help us understand why it is that we saw 71,000 plus vehicles being sold in 2014 and now currently sitting at 26,000 in 2023. What are the reasons behind the decline in the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, you look at a 63.5% decline, and it's quite shocking. I think there's multiple reasons. COVID in the middle of that 10-year period also didn't help. But it's been tough trading conditions. I think the first major issue has been that a lot of the other brands have caught up in quality, in looks, in all those aspirational things that the luxury brands kind of had up to themselves. Other problems have been pricing. You know, consumers, it comes up on your show, it comes up a lot, but consumers are really under a hell of a lot of strain, and it's very, very difficult to lay out that kind of money for these extremely beautiful vehicles when there are just so many other options and availability. We've seen the semiconductor crisis, the supply chain crisis, and, you know, people we're able to look at other brands. That loyalty factor goes away when a car isn't available or there's lack of stock, can look at something else. So, yeah, I think it's a variety of reasons for it, not just, you know, one or two. But yeah, the numbers are highly concerning if we take the 10-year figures.
Highly concerning. And maybe let's delve into some of those reasons on a case-by-case basis. And as you've mentioned, we have seen increased competition from a lot of international participants. I was speaking to some of my colleagues a moment ago, and they were taken aback by the 2019 sales figures for Haval versus what we saw just in 2023, and seems as though there's been a more than 2,000% increase there. Help us unpack these dynamics, including perhaps some of the policies that aid and facilitate the increased importation of these vehicles from the East.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's an astounding number, the 2,000% increase. And according to NAAMSA stats, if you even just take the last 2 years, the Chinese brands have gone from very, very small numbers to 10 plus percent of our market, based on the NAAMSA stats. And I think, you know, it's a combination of the right time. These brands came in where most of the other brands had incredible stock supply constraints due to the supply chain issues, semiconductor issues. The Chinese had the vehicles. The quality of those cars compared to the first range of Chinese cars that came in sub or pre-2019, you know, the new quality is fantastic and pricing is just so good. Mm-hmm. So you've got stock of vehicles, you've got a great price, and you've got incredible quality. And they just keep getting better as new brands keep launching. And we've seen Omoda and we've seen Jaeku and all of these other ones coming through now. And I think it just, you know, perfect storm came together between those two. And consumers really like it. And I don't think if there had not been the supply constraints, people would have really maybe gone for the Chinese brands. But through desperation, price, and all the other things we speak about, I think they gave it a try. And then as the brands were good, you know, people around a braai were talking to each other.
Yeah.
And we start seeing an incredible rise in sales. And the prediction is another 21 brands or 21 varieties of vehicle will come this year alone.
Sheesh.
And there's probably no stopping them as we see globally.
Very true. I'm glad you mentioned this, Brandon, because we certainly do influence our purchasing decisions at the boardroom, at the braai, or even just random conversations that we have amongst family and friends. And I'm keen to understand what this also tells us about our affordability as consumers and trends that we're embarking on when it comes to the maintenance of our vehicles. Because I'm made to believe that there are some challenges with the Asian brands in terms of a shortage of parts when it comes to repairs.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, affordability on the one hand, we've seen in all sectors, vehicles are a wonderful leading sector, you know, to gauge affordability based on their size and price, but it's across our market. And it is under incredible strain at the moment with the interest rates where they are at right now, fuel prices, next week, hopefully we'll see a nice decline there, but fuel prices, interest rates, cost of living, and all of that, affordability is at an incredibly low level. Consumers are under massive strain. We see this in the vehicle finance statistics. We see this in the approval ratios of our through our banking partners. So that's the one side of it, that there's just not enough money to go around. And then, on the other side, you've got these vehicles that are there at a very good price, and you put the two together, and you know it's a perfect marriage. And there's so much that goes into that with the affordability and the maintenance. You know, it starts with people starting to buy down their vehicles. So if we're talking about the luxury German brands, you'd start at a, for the few people who can afford it, an S-Class Mercedes-Benz, you can go right down to an A-Class. From there, you'd go to probably a demonstrator, a demo vehicle, maybe then to a used vehicle. And then finally, if you're really keen on just sticking with that brand, you'd try and hold on to the vehicle longer, extend your maintenance, extend your servicing. There's a lot of plan options available, and just try and keep that car. Mm. Whereas other people who may not be as loyal to that brand will look elsewhere. And, you know, we're a country with, I think NAMSA put out last week, 46 passenger brands. There's nowhere else in the world with that much choice. So I think that's sort of how this all kind of works.
Definitely. I'm also intrigued to understand what this means for yourself as an industry, Brandon, given that you are the National Automobile Dealers Association. One thing that is certain is that you need to keep stock moving. So typically, how do dealerships then move stock, manage stock, perhaps provide incentives for the stock to move? What dynamics has it had on your industry?
Yeah. You know, during COVID, we were dying for stock, and now there's too much stock coming in. We import 70% of our vehicles into this country, and everyone is bringing stock in. So to move the metal is quite a craft, and dealers are resilient in that. And there's a lot of ways to do it. I must say the manufacturers, the franchisor, and the banks, they have really come to the party, and we're seeing incredibly good financing options in terms of either length of finance moving out to 96 months from an average of around 70 months. Then there is the on the bonnet discounting, things like that. That's available. You know, a lot of specials being offered across vast range of vehicles.
And does that really erode the value, though, and I guess profitability of organizations like yours?
You know, it's a difficult one. I mean, the value is there. The profits may not be, and the volumes may not be, but the metal's moving. And I think, you know, the automotive industry, especially from a dealer level, is not just vehicle sales. Vehicle sales are the leader. It's how you bring the customer into your brand. It's how you generate your initial income. But thereafter, it's keeping that customer. It's the servicing, the repair work, the panel work, if there's other issues later on. So it's quite an ecosystem, and it all depends on just keeping the machine moving and keeping the vehicles going out. So there are sales, and there's used car sales that supplement the new car sales. So it's quite a dynamic that a dealership runs to just not only create value, but maintain that.
Got you. I guess to close off with very briefly, Brandon, given what we've seen in the last decade and changes in the macroeconomic climate, consumer demands, affordability, there's a lot of exogenous factors that are at play here. What does this mean for the positioning of, I guess, passenger vehicle sales in South Africa, at least for the short to medium term? Are there dynamics that we might have to contend with?
Absolutely. I think in the immediate term is next week, Wednesday's election.
Yes.
Thereafter will be the interest rate cycle, hopefully coming down. And those are the short term, medium term. And then long term will be, the more global issues. Can we get petrol, diesel vehicles? Will it move to fully battery electric or new energy? And those are the long-term things. But personal mobility is necessary. It is how the economy runs in this country with public transport, where it is. People need to move, and people will have personal mobility. And then finally, I think a vehicle is so aspirational that has to and does play such an important factor. Everybody wants to achieve vehicle ownership of some variety. So, I think the future's good, but there are a lot of headwinds coming towards us.
Certainly. Brandon, we can't wait to touch base with you and follow up on these stories and dynamics. Truly appreciate your time this evening, sir.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. That's Brandon Cohen, the chairperson of the National Automobile Dealers Association, helping us unpack why it does seem as though the purchases of Audi, BMW and Mercedes-Benz and other premium cars in South Africa has declined in the last 10 years.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.